amazing job again. Thank you, band. Do you know you've got two things to look forward to right now? Afterwards, after the service, we've got a fantastic buffet in the back hall, and we want you to come round, come and get to know us, come and have some great food. But before that great food, we got some great spiritual food, and it's going to be served up today by Sam Jayakrishna, our pastor.
Hi, good morning. Happy Easter to everyone. Christ is risen. I said Christ is risen. Hallelujah. We serve a living Christ, the Son of the living God. Our salvation, our Christianity, everything is based on the resurrection power of Jesus. That's why it's a joy to gather together in the house of God, because we know when we come together, the presence of Jesus is here. And we're not serving someone who's dead or someone who's remembered 2,000 years ago, but he's here.
Wow. Isn't that amazing what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary, and didn't end there. But on the third day, Jesus arose from the grave. Hallelujah. Where death could not hold him, the grave could not hold him. Today is Resurrection Sunday. And not only today, but every day in our lives, we are celebrating the resurrection power of Jesus, because he's alive in us. And Jesus, in the book of John, he said these words. He said, today is when God glorified Jesus as he said he would. Today, Lord, glorify me. Glorify yourself as you said you would. And in John's Gospel chapter 12 and verse 28, the Father said this. When Jesus said, Father, give glory to your name, a voice from heaven said, I have given it glory and I will give it glory again. There was something that Jesus was looking forward to. Although he knew the pain, the suffering, the torture, the anguish, and everything that Jesus had to go through, he knew what it was. He knew he had to go through it all. And you know, at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it is your will, if you can take this cup away from me, it might be really good, but I know, Lord, it's not for me to ask. It's not for me to commission. But it's, Lord, it's according to your will. Let your will be done, because I know for this purpose I have come. Yeah. For this purpose, Jesus said, I have come, that I might lay down my life for my sheep, that the sheep who hear my voice and who know me, they will listen to my voice and they will know me. And so Jesus knew what was coming. Resurrection follows death. You can have a resurrection once you face death. And death has to come first. And Jesus said this in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 24. He said, listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But. If it is buried, it sprouts and it produces itself many times over. Hallelujah. When Jesus died and he rose again from the dead, as a result of his death, as a result of his resurrection, today, millions upon millions of people have discovered and encountered eternal life. And even in our own lives, I was looking at that scripture this morning, and it says, unless this kernel of this seed, this grain of wheat, it falls to the ground and it is buried, nothing will happen. And even in our lives, until we come and we put our lives in the hands of Jesus, until we come and in a sense bury our lives and put ourselves in the hands of Jesus, and until we come and recognize that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, nothing new and nothing fresh can happen. We can be the same person we were today. 10 years from now, nothing would have changed, because the only change that can come is through dying. And that seed, once it dies and is buried in the ground, then it starts to grow. You keep a seed on a mantelpiece. If I kept a seed here today, and a year later, if I had looked at that seed will still remain. That seed probably a bit shriveled up. But if that seed I put it in the ground, a year later I would see something come out of it. And I think in our lives as well, the moment we put ourselves in the hands of Jesus and we submit our lives and give our lives to Him, then life can happen. Life can sprout again. Life can grow again. We can come alive in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we live mundane lives. We live like from one day to the other, from job to job or from morning till evening. And it becomes so routine and so mundane and so kind of boring. But you know, if we do something different, then something can change. But so long as you keep doing the same thing, nothing changes. And I think the change comes for most of us when we place our lives in the hands of Jesus. When we die to ourselves and say, God, I'm giving you my life. I'm putting my investment in you. I'm putting everything in you. Oh God, I know that what you take charge of, what you take hold of will grow. Amen. It will grow. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 18 and 19, Paul, he writing to the Romans, he says this. He says, here it is in a nutshell. Okay. So here's the summary. Here's the highlight. Just as one person did it wrong, that was Adam, and got us into all this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right, and that was Jesus, and got us out of it. Just as Adam got us into sin, Jesus got us out of sin. Hallelujah. But more than that, but more than just getting us out of trouble, He got us into life eternal. Hallelujah. Life eternal. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong. One man said yes to God and put many in the right. Hallelujah. Today God is looking for those who will say yes to God. Yes to His purpose. Yes to His promise. Yes to His way of life. God is looking for someone so that He can entrust His kingdom into that person's hands. Hallelujah. When Jesus died, He paid the penalty for our sin. He set us free. And when He rose again, He conquered death and the power over death. And what did that give us? Eternal life. Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sin. What does that actually mean? That He paid that penalty. There was a death sentence hanging over our lives. That's what it means. The power of sin and the power of the enemy was hanging over our lives. There was no other way that that price could be paid. There was no other way except for one man who was pure, who was sinless, who was spotless. For that one man to pay that price, to pay the penalty for our sin with His blood. That was the only way. And Jesus knew that, that was the only way. And that's why the Father sent His Son Jesus for that one purpose, that He can pay that price, pay the penalty for the sin that we commit. And so praise God for Jesus, that He responded positively. He responded in the way that He did, so that you and I can be here today and enjoy this freedom that comes from knowing who Jesus really is. He rose again. He conquered death. He conquered the power over death. When Jesus died, even nature responded. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? It was the sixth hour. And that was 12 noon in the Jewish calendar. And it was dark. 12 noon? Can it get dark? It was dark at 12 noon when there should have been light. It was dark. And when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," what happened? There was the rock split, the veil in the temple that was prohibiting the common man to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. That veil that was thick split in two. What did that tell us? That there, Jesus made that the way for us to approach the Father through His precious blood, not through the blood of goats or bulls or animals anymore, and not through some ritualistic process of going through some things that we might think might take us to the Father's presence. No, it was purely because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is accept the blood of Jesus Christ as the final payment for our sin, for our suffering, for everything that Jesus took upon Himself. He paid that price, and He made that way clear that we can enter into the very presence of the Father who is holy. Praise His holy name. What an awesome Sunday. The centurion who was looking at Jesus, guarding Jesus at this time, you know what he said? He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." My title for the message this morning is "Truly, this was the Son of God." Truly, this was the Son of God. That centurion, he realized, he recognized this was no ordinary person who was hanging on this cross. They have seen many hang on a cross, but this person was different. This person, there was something that was more than that he had already seen in others. He realized his own inferiority. He realized his own sin. He realized his own humanity. When he looked at Jesus on the cross and he realized with the power that came from him, even when he died, that the ground split. Hallelujah. Nature changed. The earth responded to this awesome power of Jesus. And he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. And it reads this from verses 1 to 8. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake." See? When Jesus rose from the dead as well, there was an earthquake. Hallelujah. Nature responded to the resurrection power of Jesus. "For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook with fear of him, and became like dead men." Hallelujah. "The guards shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is not here. He is risen.' And he said, 'Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." Hallelujah. "The stone was not rolled away so that Jesus could get out." It wasn't rolled away for Jesus to get out. No, it was rolled away so that others could come in and see that Jesus indeed was risen as he had promised. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 that God will remove our stony or our stubborn heart and give us a heart of flesh or a heart of obedience so that we can enter into the joy of knowing the treasures we have in Jesus. God is able to remove our stubbornness, our cold hearts, and give us a heart that responds, that is obedient to the voice of Jesus Christ, to the call of Jesus Christ. That you and I can know this Jesus, can know the power of resurrection in our own lives, and know that God has treasures for us when we walk our journey with Jesus. The stone to your destiny in Christ Jesus, that stone may be closing things up for you. But remember that God in Christ has removed that stone for your sake so that you can see the resurrection power of Jesus. God is able to remove every obstacle. God is able to remove every obstacle that might seem humongous, like a big stone. The stone that covered the tomb was not a tiny thing. It was a big stone. Humanly, it was virtually impossible to roll that stone away. It was so big and so heavy. God is able to remove every obstacle that might be looming in front of us. It can be like a big stone in front of our lives. And we might say, how can we get through this? How can we face tomorrow? You can face tomorrow because Jesus lives. Because he can roll that stone away. He can move those burdens out. He can take you from where you are now to where you should be. And that can happen when you allow Jesus to come in and to roll that stone away. The angel who announced the good news of the resurrection of Jesus, he gave them, these women, four messages. The first one was this. He said, don't be frightened. Don't be frightened, Mary. Don't be frightened. The reality of the resurrection brings joy, not fear. The reality of the resurrection brings joy, not fear. When fear grips you, remember the empty tomb. When fear grips your heart, remember the empty tomb. Because what does the empty tomb signify? The resurrection of Jesus. That he's no longer in that tomb, but he's alive in you and in me. When you come to Jesus, it isn't a frightening experience. It's not something, you know, spooky, you know, or something weird that happens to you. No, it's something amazing, something enjoyable, something that, you know, brings you so much joy and satisfaction. It changes your heart. It changes your life. You know, you kind of go from this domain of where things were dark, you know, this domain where everything was going downhill, you know, where the enemy had a stronghold in your life. In other words, he had his hold on your life. He compressed you, suppressed you. He put you through stuff that was awful, because the enemy's job is this. It's three things: steal, kill, destroy. That's his job. So don't get fooled by the enemy. He's not there to give you anything good. He might seem good at the time, but the ultimate end goal of the enemy is to steal, is to kill, and is to destroy. But what happens is when you can move out of this domain into the kingdom of the power of his son, something happens. And only Jesus can do that for you in your life. Nobody else. Why? Because only Jesus paid the price. And so the devil responds to the price that Jesus paid with his blood. When we took communion today, what does that signify? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Why is that so important to remember? Because that is where Christianity happens. That is where our salvation happens. It happens at the cross of Jesus Christ and nowhere else. If it's not for the cross, you and I, our Christianity is in vain. Our living is futile. It makes no sense for us. But praise God for the cross of Jesus. And the angel said, don't be afraid. The second message that the angel gave the women was this. The second one was, he isn't here. Hallelujah. He isn't here. Come and have a look. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is not just a relic. Jesus is not just an historic artifact preserved in a museum somewhere. No. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? There's no museum that says, here is where Jesus lay. You know, here is the bone of Jesus. No. There's no museum that can show you anything because of the death of Jesus. Why? Because he rose again from the dead. He's alive in you. He's alive in me. The expression of God himself is in us. So we don't have to go miles and thousands of miles and fly somewhere else to a high mountain or, I don't know, somewhere else to find Jesus. People say, I need to go somewhere to find myself. Maybe that's okay, but not to find Jesus.
You can find Jesus right here, right where you are. Because that's the path, that's the way that he made for you through his blood. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You and I are living stones that Jesus, the resurrected Christ, has raised up in this generation to shine his light and to live that super abundant life. You and I are living stones. And that's why when we come together, we make up the house of God. It's not this building, but you and I are the building. You and I are the bricks. We are living stones coming together. And when we stand together strong, we learned about that over the weekend, standing together strong. When we stand together as one body, as one people, there's something that is declared in that oneness, in that togetherness. People know that these are people who are alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The resurrection power gives us hope. It gives us a victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The third thing that the angels told these women was this. They said, come in and see. The evidence for the women to see was that the tomb was empty. And it still remains empty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is not merely a historical fact. It is a historical fact, but it's far more than that to those who believe in his name. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope, gives us power over death. It gives us a future. It is what keeps our faith, our Christian faith alive. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It is the reason we live for, because Jesus is alive. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I know he holds my future. And life is worth living just because Jesus lives. If there's one person, if there's one person and one thing that you go after, it is the life of Jesus Christ. It is that one person who can change your situation, change your circumstances, change your course of life to something that is according to his plan and purpose. You can go after wealth, you can go after jobs, you can go after money, you can go after whatever else that you think is important. But if you do not have Jesus, he said, you know, what would you gain? You know, if you gain the whole world and if you lose your own soul, what's the point of that? You know, it's like the story I told you earlier. This rich old man, he thought he could take all his stuff and go to heaven. And when he got to heaven, he thought he saw there's so much gold there. What does this suitcase of gold actually mean? Nothing. Because you've got everything in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we try and strive on our own and we get tired and we get worn out. But if we can only put our trust in Jesus, say, God, I'm almost giving up and I've come to a point of desperation, but I know, God, that you have a plan for my life. You rose from the dead for me. You died on the cross for me. There was a reason, there was a purpose. And Lord, rather than my struggling and going from day to day to day and still be not overcoming any situation, God, I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to give my heart to you. I'm going to put my trust in you and I'm going to see what you're going to do in my life. And why not give Jesus a chance? Why not give him one opportunity to make things better, to make things much more powerful, to give meaning and purpose in our lives? Why not love Jesus or give him one chance in your life? You know, Paul said this in Philippians 1 and verse 21. He said this, Christ means everything to me in this life. Christ means everything to me. And when I die, I'll have even more. Hallelujah. It says another trial, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's even better. Christ meant everything to this apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a man who persecuted the Christian church. God met him on the road to Damascus, transformed his life. He was the most formidable apostle that you would ever meet or ever read about. And yet he says this. He says, Christ means
everything to me in this life. It's not my accolade. It's not because I was a Pharisee. It's not because I persecuted the Christians. It's not because I learned under Gamaliel, the scholar. It was none of that, but Christ in me. Christ in me. The fourth message that the angels gave the women was this. They said, go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell. They were to spread the joy of the resurrection of Jesus in like manner. We too are called to spread the good news about Jesus, about his resurrection, about his power, about his transforming life that we can have in Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is the good news. It's great news. It's liberating news. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything either. Isn't that amazing? When somebody gives you something that's really powerful, something that's really good, you go for a conference, you go for a course, you go for something, and they're giving you tools. They don't give it to you for nothing, do they? They put a hefty price on it. But here's Jesus, the Jesus who hung on the cross, the Jesus who rose again from the dead. He's given everything, his life, everything for us freely, freely, freely he's given. And all we have to do is say, thank you, Jesus. I take what you have given me, Lord Jesus. I take you into my life. I receive you. The good news, people are waiting to hear some good news today. There's so much bad news. Let's not get caught up in the bad news. Let's give people some hope. Let's tell them about the good news of Jesus, especially this season, this time, this week of Resurrection Week. Let's tell people about Jesus and tell them, don't focus on the bad news. Focus on something that's good. Jesus' resurrection is the key to our faith, our Christian faith. Why? Because Jesus, just as he promised, Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. We can therefore be confident that he will accomplish all he has promised. Our faith is alive because Jesus is alive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17, it says this, and if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith doesn't mean anything. If Christ had not been raised, your faith means nothing. Your sins have not been forgiven. Oh, Paul makes it so clear that the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings meaning and purpose to our Christian faith. What's the other reason? Jesus' bodily resurrection shows us that the living Christ is ruler of God's eternal kingdom. Not a false prophet. He's not an imposter. Although the religious teachers of the time, they were trying to accuse Jesus as an imposter, as a fraud. But they could not. They even bribed the soldiers to say his disciples came and stole the body of Jesus. They put a seal on the tomb because they were afraid that somehow people would come and tamper with the tomb. They sealed it as well in fear of somebody stealing the body of Jesus. They set a guard 24/7, but nothing could hold Jesus in the tomb. Hallelujah. Nothing could hold Jesus in the tomb. We can be certain of our resurrection because Jesus was resurrected. Death isn't the end. How many know that? Death is not the end for a Christian. There is a future. There is eternal life. There is a place that Jesus has prepared for us. We read in John chapter 14. He's going to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we also will be with him. We can be certain of that. Jesus told one of the thieves hanging on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus has the power of life. Jesus, the power over death. Hallelujah. Only he can give you that key. He is the key to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. and I am the life. No one, no man can come to the Father except through me. Nobody else in this world, no other guru, no other, wherever you want to look for, or whoever you want to look for, could say those three things. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus said it. In 1 Peter 4 and 1 and verse 4, 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, he says this. He has given us new birth, say new birth, so that we might share in what belongs to him. He's given us new birth so that we might share what belongs to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He shared, God the Father shared everything through his Son Jesus with us. It is a gift that can never be destroyed. It can never spoil or even fade away. It is kept in heaven for you. It's preserved just for you. Tell your neighbor, that's for you. Jesus has prepared it for you. He's given you a new birth just for you. And it belongs to you. Nobody can steal it. It's yours. The power that brought Jesus back to life is available to us to take us from spiritual death to life in Christ Jesus. John 3:36 says this, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who rejects the Son will not see life. Now that's a hard statement, isn't it? People don't like to hear that kind of word. They say, no, God is love. You know, I'll be okay. I'll somehow scrape through. The word is very clear. Jesus himself, he says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who rejects the Son will not see life. Then in John 5:24, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Hallelujah. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. Isn't that amazing? While we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. And all we have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, how easy is that? But yet there are so many people who struggle with just putting their lives in the hands of Jesus Christ. Even in his time, in the time of Jesus, many didn't believe. There were those who did. Thank God for those who did believe in the name of Jesus. But there were those who did not believe. Even when the Messiah, the Son of God, was walking in their midst and working mighty miracles. And even today, when you go out on the street, we see many who are walking and groping around in darkness, trying to find something, some hope somewhere, some consolation somewhere, something to appease themselves. Trying to go on pilgrimages and trying to buy salvation. But you can't buy salvation because it was given free. You can't pay anything because it's already been paid. Hallelujah. That's the love of Jesus. That's the mercy of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is the basis for the church's witness to the world that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's the basis for the witness of the church that he is the Son of God. Though Jesus was betrayed, his plans were fulfilled. Though he was betrayed, his plans were fulfilled. Though they beat him mercilessly, his mercy only magnified. Though he was mocked upon that cross, he forgave every sin. Though God's presence was forbidden, his sacrifice tore the veil that was separating us from the Father's presence. Though he was shrouded in grave clothes, his light could not be contained. Hallelujah. And though they sealed his tomb, he broke free. Oh God, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can shout hallelujah this morning because Jesus broke free for you and for me. There is no greater message. There is no great excitement that should come to us when we hear that Jesus broke free from the tomb. We say, yes, hallelujah. Christ is risen this morning. He's not the dead God, but he's alive in you, in me. He's alive in us. That's the resurrection power of Jesus. Jesus loves you. He will never condemn you for your past, for your sin. God never condemns you. He convicts you of your sin so that you come to him. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will discover your scars are not permanent and your recovery will be quick because Jesus is able to remove every scar, every shame. Christ will meet you in your darkest places and Christ will heal you. He will heal you of all the wounds from your past. All the stuff that's been haunting you. Your past life, your sins, your hang-ups and all the stuff that's been going on. Jesus can meet you in your darkest place and heal you of all your wounds because His grace, His unmerited favor, His grace is more than your shame. His grace is more than your shame. And that's why Jesus can go to those places. There is no limit to the depth of shame He can see through because there is no limit to the grace He can supply. Let me say that again. There is no limit to the depth of shame He can see us through. Because there is no limit to the grace that He can supply. Today, church, today, if you're feeling the weight of your shameful past, your sinful ways, just come to Jesus. It's like the Nike tick. Just do it. I mean, we look at the Nike tick and we say, that's what it means. Just do it. What are we faffing around for? What are we waiting for? Christmas to come again? Why walk in our sinful nature? Why serve an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy our lives? Why? Why would we want to serve someone like that? Would you serve somebody who wants to kill you and steal from you and destroy your life? I guess the answer would be no. But when our lives are not hid with Christ, when our lives are not in Jesus Christ, that's what we're actually saying. We say, I'd rather listen to the devil. I'd rather follow his plan than God's plan for my life. Now that can come across a bit harsh, but Jesus, when he was talking about the kingdom of God, he didn't play around with words. He said it as it was and as it is, because that's the truth. Jesus loves you. He will never condemn you. All you have to do is accept him. There are only two choices that you can make today. One is to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Or be closed to the truth. In other words, deny the truth. Ignore the truth. Even rationalize it to the point of you do nothing with it. How many people rationalize, pontificate, they, you know, go in circles and they look at, oh, what did so-and-so say? What did so-and-so say? What did so-and-so say? They never look at the Word of God and say, that is what the Word of God says, that He rose from the dead triumphantly, overcoming sin, sickness, death, and the power of sin and death. And today, make the right choice. What do you believe? What do you believe today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the way? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the truth? And do you believe that Jesus Christ, He is the life, He is life eternal? Do you believe that? Today, Jesus can be the difference in your life. Today, He can be the difference. Not just make you different, He can be the difference in your life. today, accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Do it now. And you know, God brings us to moments like this because He has a plan for our lives. See, every time we hear the Word of God, it's not just because we have a space in the service, so, you know, we just have to preach something. That's not the reason. It's because God speaks to us. God has a message for us. And how does He speak? He speaks through His Word. When we read God's Word, this is God's Word. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit. When you read God's Word, He speaks to us. How else does He speak? He speaks through the preacher. Because sometimes we don't read this Word enough to know. It's like we go to school. We have a teacher who teaches us. If we have the ability and capability of studying ourselves, we won't need teachers. And sometimes you need someone to teach the Word and show you the Word so that you can go, aha, okay, I understand it now. I can see why Easter is such an important day. It's not just Happy Easter, Easter Bunny, or Easter chocolate, or Easter eggs. Many people think Easter is that. But Easter is the most prominent, awesome, powerful day. It was Easter Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. Today, you're here, and you're here at the right place. You heard the message this morning, and you can respond to that message. Not to me, because I can't do anything, but Jesus can. And you can respond to Jesus this morning. And I did that when I was about 14 years of age. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a preacher. My brother was in Bible school at the time. My sister had been through Bible school. She was teaching. So I grew up in a Christian environment. I grew up in a family where my dad would wake us up at 5 in the morning and say, pray. Read the Word. Still remember that to come like this. But I had to come to Jesus myself. I couldn't go on my dad's salvation. I had to make a decision one day that I needed Jesus for myself. You can't go on somebody else's salvation. You've got to make your own decision. And today could be that day of decision, could be now. And I just want to lead you through a simple prayer. And it's a prayer between you and God. And for those of us who know Jesus, what we're doing is we're just confirming yet again what Jesus has done for us in our lives. It's a declaration. But for those of you who haven't made a commitment to Jesus, it could be that prayer that comes out of your spirit, out of your heart. It comes out unto Jesus. Say, Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. Today I give my heart to you. And so let's pray together. And as you pray, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus, make this your prayer. Let's say it together. Say it after me. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I acknowledge my sin.
I acknowledge my sin.
I acknowledge that I am far away from you.
I acknowledge that I'm far away from you.
I acknowledge that I need a Savior.
I acknowledge that I need a Savior.
I know you died for me.
I know you died for me.
I know you died to set me free.
I know you died to set me free.
And I know you were raised from the dead.
I know you were raised from the dead.
And today, Jesus.
And today, Jesus.
I repent. Of all my sin.
Of all my sin.
And I turn to you.
And I turn to you.
I ask you, Jesus.
I ask you, Jesus.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Wash me in your precious blood.
Wash me in your precious blood.
I want to be free.
I want to be free.
I want to know you more.
I want to know you more.
I want to love you, Jesus.
I want to love you.
And I want to serve you. Be my Lord and Savior.
Be my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I would love to know that. I would love to get to know you. Because I want to put a Bible in your hand. I want you to get connected somewhere so that you can grow in your faith in Jesus. And today, I want you to go from here knowing the resurrection power of Jesus in your own life. Praise God for Jesus, that He's alive in you and me. And today, that was your prayer. You can go back with a smile. You can go back knowing that you are free from the clutches of sin and death. You are free in Jesus. You are free to have a life that's fulfilled, that's complete, that's abounding in Jesus. Father, thank you this morning that you made a way where there seemed to be no way. That you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. We thank you that as we celebrate you today with millions of people around the world, we declare, Jesus, you are Lord. We thank you, Lord, that where sin abounds, your grace abounds even more. The light shines in the darkness. Hallelujah. And the darkness cannot comprehend it because the light shines brighter. And Lord, I pray that in the coming days and weeks that your light will shine. The resurrection power of Jesus, Lord, will be seen not only across this nation, but across the globe. Thank you, O God, that you are coming for a people. You're preparing a people. And you're coming back again. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, 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 oh.